listening to Awakened to Deliver, a podcast from Awakened Bible Ministries, created to inspire believers to wake up to God's truth and live boldly for Christ. Today, Jeff Fish exposes the reasons why many churches and believers have abandoned the supernatural, and what the Bible says about those who reject the power of God. The gift of miracles wasn't meant to die with the apostles. It was meant to continue through the Spirit-filled church. Our key verse is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, "Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such people as these." Now, let's join Jeff for today's message.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another day of Awaken to Deliver. This week, we have already defined what the gift of miracles is, and we've seen how powerfully it operated in the ministries of Jesus and his apostles. But now we have to confront something that's holding the modern church back. Why is it that so many Christians say they believe in Jesus, but don't believe that he still works miracles? Why do some churches claim to follow the Bible, yet reject the supernatural gifts that the Bible clearly teaches? Why have signs and wonders been replaced with strategy and stage lighting? Today's message isn't just about the what, it's about the why not. Because the early church walked in miracles. The Word of God is filled with miracles, and Jesus never said that they would stop. So what happened? Well, let's get to the root of this. First, we need to recognize that the spirit of unbelief isn't just doubt. Doubt wrestles. Unbelief rejects. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 warns us, "Take care, brothers and sisters, that there will not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God." Unbelief is a spiritual condition. It closes the door on the miraculous. It elevates intellect above revelation. It chooses what's comfortable over what's supernatural. And it's not new. In Mark chapter 6, verses 5 through 6, it says Jesus could not do any miracle there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he was amazed at their unbelief. Jesus, the Son of God, was limited in what he could do because of unbelief, not because he lost power, but because the atmosphere was hostile to the supernatural. Now apply that to today. Churches gather every Sunday and sing songs to Jesus. But deep down, many don't believe that he still moves in power. And the result? There's no healings, no deliverance, and no breakthroughs. Just dead religion. And this ties into our key verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. "Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such people as these." Let that verse hit. It doesn't say they deny God. It says they deny his power. They keep the outward structure of religion, but gut it of supernatural life. It's possible to preach sermons, to sing hymns, and to quote scripture while completely rejecting the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says to avoid them, not because we hate them, but because their influence will numb your expectations. It will dull your faith and strangle your fire. So let's shift to one of the biggest lies, and that is cessationism. Cessationism is the belief that the miraculous gifts like healing, prophecy, tongues, and miracles have ceased with the death of the apostles or the completion of the New Testament. Now, it sounds theological, but it's actually unbiblical. There is no scripture that says that the gifts of the Spirit would ever cease before the return of Christ. In fact, the Bible teaches the opposite. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says, "So that you are not lacking in any gift, as you eagerly await the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ." When do the gifts stop? When Jesus returns. not before. Cessationism doesn't come from the Bible. It comes from fear, from disappointment, from pride, and from man-made theology that tries to control what only God can release. And the danger? Cessationism doesn't just reject miracles. It breeds spiritual apathy. It creates a Christianity that talks about power but never expects to see it. And this reminds me of the Pharisees, experts in the word, but enemies of the power. The Pharisees knew the scriptures better than anyone. They studied the law, memorized the prophets, quoted the Torah. But when the word became flesh and stood in front of them, healing the sick, casting out demons, and raising the dead, they called him a blasphemer. That's what a religion does. It clings to the structure and kills the spirit. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 24, when Jesus cast out demons, the Pharisees said he was doing it by the power of Satan. That's not just wrong. That's demonic. That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And here's the warning. The modern day religious spirit still does this. When a deliverance breaks out, they say it's fake. When healing happens, they say it's hype. When the prophetic flows, they say it's dangerous. But why? Because miracles threaten control. Power from heaven disrupts systems built by man. So let's take a moment to talk about disappointment and deconstruction. Some people once believed in miracles, but stopped because they didn't see one. Maybe they prayed and nothing happened. Maybe they lost someone. Maybe they were taught that God always heals. But when healing didn't come, they fell into bitterness. Now that pain is real, but it's not permission to rewrite theology. Just because you haven't seen a miracle doesn't mean they don't happen. Your experience does not override Scripture. Our job is not to explain what we don't understand. Our job is to believe the word, even when it offends our own logic. Mark chapter 9, verse 24 is the honest prayer that we need to pray. I do believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. Furthermore, Satan hates the gift of miracles because it exposes his powerlessness. Every time a miracle happens, the kingdom of darkness takes a hit. When a blind man sees, Satan loses ground. When a captive is set free, his chains are shattered. When a storm is calmed, when a person is raised, when the impossible bows to the name of Jesus, it reminds hell that its time is short. So of course the enemy is going to infiltrate the church with doctrines that deny the gifts. Of course he'll use prideful scholars, bitter pastors, or confused influencers to spread doubt. Because if he can get the church to stop believing for miracles, he can keep us from walking in victory. That's why the gifts must be defended, contended for, taught with boldness, and lived with purity. This brings us to an even deeper point. The absence of miracles reveals a deeper issue. We have made room for marketing, not miracles. We've built platforms, not altars. We've pursued performance instead of presence. And as a result, many churches are full of activity, but void of authority. It's not that God stopped doing miracles. It's that we stopped expecting them. We stopped fasting. We stopped pressing in. We stopped laying on hands. We became content with a form of godliness while denying its power. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says, avoid it. Don't normalize it. Don't normalize powerless Christianity. Don't align with ministries that mock the supernatural. Don't tolerate spiritual lifelessness just because it's comfortable. Now let me challenge you with this thought as we end today's episode. Have you unknowingly embraced a theology that denies power? Have you lowered your expectations to match your experience rather than lifting up your faith to match the word? Are you surrounding yourself with people who stir your faith or who drain it? Because it's time to break agreement with unbelief. It's time to repent for limiting God. It's time to reject doctrines of death and align with the full gospel. The gospel of power, not just of words. Now, as we finish up, take this with you. The gift of miracles is still available. The Holy Spirit is still moving. Jesus is still healing, still delivering, still raising, and still restoring. And he wants to do it through you. But first, you must believe again. You must shake off every dead thing. You must renounce every lie. And you must ask God to ignite faith that no longer explains him away, but makes room for him to move. Now, tomorrow, we will shift into the practical. We'll talk about how to position your life to see miracles happen, not just in church services, but in your everyday obedience. So until then, stay faithful, stay bold, and remember that you too have been awakened to deliver.
Thank you for listening to Awakened to Deliver. We hope today's message has encouraged and equipped you in your walk with Christ. To stay connected and explore more content like this, visit the link tree in the podcast description. There you'll find access to all of Awakened Ministries' socials, as well as a link to Jeff's book, 30 Days of Patience. If this podcast has blessed you, consider leaving a rating and review. It helps others discover this message of faith and encouragement. Awakened to Deliver is entirely listener-supported. If you feel led to partner with this ministry, you can give a one-time donation through Cash App, Venmo, or PayPal, or become a monthly partner through one of the tiers on Patreon. All giving options are available through the link tree. Your support helps spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us tomorrow as we continue diving into God's Word together.